If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. If you're a newcomer today, we started a series a few weeks ago. We're calling We, Not Me. And we've been walking through our purpose as a church family and our mission that's rooted in that very phrase. And not only just a phrase, but also just an understanding that life is not about me. Church is not about me. Nothing is about me, but coming to a place where we understand that it is really about not only we, but also what He is doing in the midst of us. And so in Acts chapter 1, we're going to unpack that in just a moment. Let me just kind of walk through it again. As far as our mission as a church family, we exist to generously love people. One of the things I love and I appreciate so much about our church family is the way that we generously love people. Whether it's meeting a need, whether it's coming alongside and encouraging, making ourselves available, we want to generously love people at home and around the world toward a growing relationship with Christ. We talked a few weeks ago about the reality. We can't love someone into a relationship with Christ, but we can love them toward a relationship with Christ. And we want to be those people that as we generously love people, as we unconditionally and unequivocally love them in a matter of how God is leading us and calling us, that we would indeed love people at home and around the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. A couple things I want to let you know ahead of time. I always like to let you know what we're going to do at the end. There are two commitments I want to invite you to make at the end of the service today. The first is simply this. Make a commitment to be a Great Commission Christian. What I mean by that is simply saying this: God, I want to do all I can to serve You and love You with all my heart. And Father, whether You call me to go to the ends of the earth, or whether You never call me to leave Knoxville, Father, I want to do all I can to invest my life in sharing the gospel with people. Men and women, if we don't do anything as God's people, we must share the amazing news of the love of Christ with people. Making that commitment to say, God, I don't know what You're calling me to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But Father, I'm making a commitment today to be a Great Commission Christian for the rest of my days. That's the first commitment I'm going to ask you to make into the service today. The second commitment is this. Some of you, I believe, God has already either begun or you even have already confirmed His call to go to the mission field. And coming to a place where you say, God, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how. But God, I'm going to commit my life to being prayerful and being trained and being spiritually ready to when You say go, I'm going to go. When You call, I'm going to answer. And God, I want to commit my life to Your calling, vocationally, and being willing to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. Acts chapter 1, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn there with me. Stand, if you will, as we prepare to read God's Word to us today. I want to start with a passage in Matthew 28. You have to turn there. You know this very well if you've driven by a church. In the end of Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, it says this: And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And now we come to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I believe Jesus, as He's appearing to His disciples, He says a continuation of what we know as the Great Commission. He says in verse 8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And God, I pray that our hearts would burn white hot for You. That, Father, as You draw us closer and closer into relationship with You, that You would put on our heart what's on Yours. Reaching people with the amazing news of Jesus. Father, I pray today that You would burden us. Father, I pray today that You would give us a desire to invest our lives in the greatest opportunity and calling in the world. And Father, we'll give you the thanks for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that verse we just read, just a little bit of background. Jesus is responding to a question that his disciples had for him. And basically is saying to them, when is your millennial kingdom, when's your kingdom going to be established? Is it now? I mean, is this the time? Is it game time? I mean, when is it going to take place? And Jesus answers, don't worry about when my kingdom is going to be established. Don't bother your pretty little hearts about that one bit. That's a loose paraphrase. Because the Father has everything under control. And then Jesus says to him, he says, listen, what I want you to concern yourself with is the fulfillment of the commission I've given to you. And you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. That's what my disciples should be consumed with. And so this morning, I want to share just two steps, if you will. If you are going to adopt your role that God has for you in loving the world, generously loving the world toward a relationship with Christ, if you're going to adopt that, at least two things in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we must embrace. Two steps, and these are simple. Turn to your neighbor and go, even a child can do it. So simple. He says, first of all, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The first step is simply this, receive His power. How easy is that? That's all you got to do. Receive His power. I love what James Hudson Taylor says. We have given too much attention to methods and to machinery and to resources and too little to the source of power, the filling of the Holy Ghost. At the end of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 24, Jesus says this, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, listen to what He says. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is not just an anomaly in the Scriptures. Jesus taught them consistently about that. Listen, you cannot accept your role in loving the world if you've not first received the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't do it. You can't self-power it. Have you done that? Several years ago, Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, now it's called CRU, but he created some images that really help understand more fully about what it is to receive His power. And I think it represents really all of us here in this room today, one of these three chairs, if you will. The first chair, you'll see it up here, is what we consider to be the natural person. The chair represents the throne of our lives. Who's in control? You see the little dots in the circle. It means all the priorities, all the decisions, everything that we have to make in our life. And the natural person, the self-directed person, has never made a commitment. They're self-powering their lives. They never received the forgiveness of the sins. They've never been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They've never experienced Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They're simply self-powering their lives. Self is on the throne of our life. And I'm going to tell you what I've experienced. Whenever self is on the throne of our lives, it usually ends up resulting in frustration and disappointment. And the results are all about me. It's the self-directed, natural life. The Holy Spirit is not in you because you've never become a follower of Christ. Maybe today that's where you are. You say, well, preacher, I've been to church all my life. Going to church doesn't change who sits on the throne of your life. The second picture that Dr. Bill Bright came up with is what he called the spiritual person. This is the Christ-centered life. It's the person who's received the forgiveness of sins that's available through Christ and Christ alone. Jesus is a part of your life. You're growing and developing in a relationship with Him. And as you're growing and developing in that relationship, He's on the throne of your life. He's the one making the decisions. You're simply following how He leads. The Christ-centered life. The spiritual life that God's called us to. Then there's a third category that Dr. Bright talked about. And this is where many of you are today. You may or may not have committed your life to Christ. But you're what Dr. Bright would call a cultural Christian. If Christ is in your life, He's not making your decisions. You're still self-directed. He's not sitting on the throne of your life. You're doing all you can to live the best life you can, a good life, if you will. But you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not receiving what God has for you because He's not controlling your life. Have you received His power? Listen, Jesus wants you to experience the abundant and fruitful life that He's designed you for. John chapter 15, Jesus paints a picture of a vine and the branches. Jesus says, if you abide in Me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. But if you abide in a self-directed life, here's what He says in John 15. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Sure, you can have a job and you can have a marriage and you can have relationships and you can do a bunch of stuff, but you'll never experience the power of the life that Christ has designed and died and gloriously resurrected for you if you've never made that step. And it's about coming to a place for you of just simply saying, Father, I need You. I need Your forgiveness. I need Your freedom that we sang about already. I need the power of Your Spirit at work in my life. I'm tired of being dry and empty and frustrated and disappointed. And God, I want to find my joy in You. So Father, would You come and would You save me? Would Your Holy Spirit lead me to places where You're simply powering my life and I'm walking in the joy and the abundance of what You have for me? Listen, that's how you take the step to receive His power if you've never done that. Step one, receive His power. Step two, be His witness. He says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll receive that power and you'll be My, what? Witnesses. You'll be My witnesses. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ, there's no story like your story. God has only done in you what He's done in you. He's redeemed you in only way that He can from where you are in your life. And you're the only one who can share your story. The preacher can't share your story. I can share my story. I was 11 years old. I'd attended church all my life, literally, from the womb on. And when I was 11 years old, I was at a Spirit Express basketball camp, kind of like Athletes in Action. I had a big basketball player named Lonnie who shared the gospel with me. And in that moment, my heart was open to realize that Jesus Christ had died for me. Going to church hadn't done that. Trying to be good hadn't done that. I was an awful kid. But at the age of 11, that summer before my sixth grade year, Jesus Christ saved me. And I've never been the same. I'm the only one that can share my story. And you're the only one that can share yours. And Jesus Christ wants you to be His witness. He wants you to share your story. Sharing your story is pretty simple. You don't have to follow ABC 1, 2, 3. Let me just give you some ideas of how you do it. What was your life like before Christ? How'd you come to realize you had a need for Jesus? How'd it happen? Where were you? And what's Christ doing in your life now? Not what did He do in your life, what's He doing today? What difference is He making in the way you live? Be His witness. Share your story. And then there are three places that Jesus shares that this needs to happen. Three places. Notice first of all what He says. It needs to happen, number one, where? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. Any of you have been in Jerusalem? Any of you currently reside in Jerusalem? No. So it's easier for us to go, oh, well, not talking to me. Let's skip to verse 9. I don't think Jesus is speaking of a specific geographic location as much as He's teaching a spiritual principle. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, or chapters 1 through 7, tell the story in the book of Acts of the early church in Jerusalem. How they were His witnesses. Jesus wants us to be His witness at home. That's what Jerusalem means, at home. In our workplace, in our family, in our relationships, in our schools, wherever you call home, whatever that looks like for you, that is our Jerusalem. How do we do this? How does this happen? Let me give you a couple of practical things. Last week's message, I shared about love where you live. And that's the whole premise of last week's message. The first step, if you want to be a witness in Jerusalem, share your story. Invest in a relationship with someone and share what God has done in your life and what He's doing. Simply share your story. Invite someone to come to Salem next Sunday. A friend of mine, Dr. John Avant, is going to be here. I can tell you he's going to preach a very clear gospel message. We're calling it Harvest Sunday. It's a great opportunity to bring a friend that you've been developing. Just invite them to be here. We won't make them feel weird. We won't embarrass you. But they will hear the gospel clearly preached next Sunday morning. Man, do that. If you want to be a witness in Jerusalem, simply do that. Then he says, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea and where? Samaria. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9. Tell the story of being witnesses in Judea and Samaria. Here's what that means. Jesus wants us to be His witness in East Tennessee. Amen? He wants us to be His witness here in this area, in this region. Not only in East Tennessee, but in the United States. Among people that are different from us. That's who the Samaritans were. They were the ones that were kind of the outcasts, if you will. And I love that Jesus modeled this for us and the way He ministered. Luke chapter 7 speaks of Jesus, and it says that He was preaching the gospel to the poor, to the lepers, to those that were in the most difficult places. Those that found themselves in a tight spot. Jesus was one to be a witness to them. John chapter 4, Jesus encounters this Samaritan woman at the well. Once again, just modeling this for us. You say, how do we do that? Just build a relationship with someone, once again, that's different from you. If you need an encouragement, it's an older book, but go back and read Same Kind of Different as Me. You get a heart for someone that's not like you. Just simply share your story with them. Pray for revival and spiritual awakening in our nation. That's a way you can do it. Get involved in cross-cultural missions. There's plenty of opportunities in Knoxville. We'll help you. Plan to be a part of our next team that goes to Denver to partner with Aspen Grove. That's a different world out there. Amen? We could have sent you to California. That'd be really different. Partner to take the gospel to our Judea and our Samaria. And then he says, to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 10 all the way to Acts chapter 28 tell the story of how the gospel began to be proclaimed throughout the ends of the earth in that particular point in time in history. Jesus wants you and he wants me to be those who are his witnesses among the unreached peoples of the world. You want to know what's rolling around the heart of God today? Reaching the nations. Reaching the nations. You say, how do we do that? Can I give you some practical things to do? Pray for the Muslim people of the world. If I might ask you specifically, pray for the North Africans. Wednesday night, we partner with the IMB missionary, Kate. She's going to be here Wednesday evening and share it in our early bird Bible study at 4 and in our adult gathering at 6. You'll get to hear what God's doing among North Africans that are being ministered to in France. Pray for those people. I have to make a confession to you. I had a very limited understanding of that people group, particularly Tunisians and Algerians. And I'm going to tell you, when we took our team to Marseille this summer, and we had the opportunity to not only share gospel packets with them, but interact with them, I'll tell you what God did in my life. He began to allow my heart to connect with his for the people of the world. Pray for those people. It's a great way you can partner to the ends of the earth. Maybe you're involved in a connect group. Just adopt an international missionary or international people and commit to pray, commit to give, commit to support, commit to go, commit to do all those things. The last thing that I would say, you'd say, man, I want to love the world. What can I do? You can go. Don't go away, just go. We have a team going to Kenya in February. We have a team going to Marseille, France again next summer. We have a team going to Paris, France in the fall. We have a team going to back to Parker, Colorado, to Aspen Grove in the fall. We have a team going to Romania in the fall. We might even have another option that I'm not going to talk about just yet. Go. You say, preacher, I've never been on a plane. Jesus didn't either. He just walked through walls. I don't know quite how that worked, but be his witness. Be his witness. That's the role God has for you. Receive his power and be his witness. But let's get practical, can we? You say, that sounds great, but how do I embrace that? How does that really flesh out in the way I live my life? Can I give you just a couple of ideas? The first thing that I would say this, loving the world is embraced through what I would call a prayerful burden. A prayerful burden. That's how we embrace God's mission and God's calling on our lives. I love what J. Herbert Cain said. God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. And then he says this, when the church ceases to be missionary minded, it is denied its faith and betrayed its trust. Listen to me. You're never going to experience and embrace God's role in reaching and loving the world if it's not a burden that comes from your relationship with Him. You're not going to do it. You can go on trips. You can give aid to people. And you can come back and go, oh, it was awesome. Man, God used us. It was incredible. You should have seen how, oh, we were so good at distributing packets. Man, you should have heard us prayer walking. You're not going to believe it. You should go back with us so you can experience the same thing that we experienced. I mean, it was amazing. I felt so good. I've never been in the center of what God had for me. I'm telling you, it's so good. Ooh. It's different when God gives you a burden. And you go. And He uses you. And you return. And your life changes. It changes how you invest your money. It changes how you pray. It changes what you think about. It changes how you prioritize your life. When God gives you a burden, everything changes. And when God gives you a burden, embracing your role of loving the world is not about guilt. It's not about obligation. Because some of you are going to hear this message, you're going to go, oh, you're just trying to twist our arm to go on a mission trip. That is not it at all. Not one bit. This is not about guilt or obligation. This is about what's on God's heart to be burdened on yours. Loving the world is embraced through a prayerful burden. But the second practical thing that I would say is loving the world is expressed through what I would call a personal strategy. A personal strategy. Do you have a strategy? Have you thought about how God wants to use you to reach the world? Would that be cool? One person here that God would say, I'm going to use you to reach the world. I'm going to use you to reach this people group. Years ago, we partnered with some missionaries through the National Mission Board in Cambodia. Tony and Trish Pitnello. Tony and I are still dear friends. We got to know Tony and Trish when I was pastoring in Florida. They stayed in one of our missionary houses. They just loved on our church family. Our church family loved on them. And we sent three or four teams to serve among the Cham people. We did medical teams. That was our first step. Then we did evangelism teams. Let me tell you what I learned through all of that. Is that we had a group of people that God began to impress upon their hearts for the people of the Cham people of Cambodia. We had one person that went on this particular trip and God didn't call them to have a heart for Cambodia. You know what they developed a personal strategy for? Reaching orphans in Nicaragua. I don't know how God connected the dots, but He did. We had one particular couple. They went and spent 6 months in Nicaragua to simply minister among a group of orphans there. How does that happen? Because God began to develop within them a burden that led to a strategy. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how He wants me to do it. This is what I want to do. You say, how do I do that? Listen, the only way you're going to catch His vision is through Scripture and prayer. You got to be in the Word. If you're here today and you would say, I'm a follower of Christ, and you're not in the Word daily, you're not spending time with the Lord, listening to Him, hearing from Him in the Word, listen, that's step one. That's not a guilt trip. That's just the reality. If you want to grow in your faith and God begin to give you a burden for the lost people of the world, you got to be in the Word. You got to spend time with Him, allowing Him to impress that upon you. As you do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to hear His heart for the nations. people groups, folks around the world that maybe you've never heard of. And then the third step is simply this, just obey. Just obey him. Whatever he calls you to do. There are a lot of roles you can play in reaching the world. For some of you, God just called you to give. You're at a point in situation of life where you can't go, but you say, man, I can support people that do. I want to be a part of what God's doing around the world, and this is how he's called me to do it. You can pray. Pray for people groups. Pray for people. Pray for teams as they go. I'm so excited to have our Denver team back. Can we welcome them back, by the way? Can we do that? You were more excited about a Vols loss last night than that. Sorry, that was in the flesh. I apologize. Obey his calling to go. Just to go. I love Henry Van Dyke said this, use what talents you possess. And I love this line. The woods would be very silent if no birds sang there, except those that sang best. The book of 1 Samuel. Samuel was the prophet of the Lord. And he had to deliver a very difficult message to King Saul. Saul had been a godly king for a time, but he had begun to pursue his own ways. He had taken God off the throne of his life, and he began to make his own decisions, and God had chosen a new king. God goes down to Jesse's house, the Bible says, and Jesse brings out all of his sons, well, almost all of his sons, and Samuel does the same thing that we tend to do. They're probably there in age order, and he comes to the first guy, and he says, man, this guy, he's the guy. He's good looking, he's strong, he's the firstborn, he's going to get the birthright, everything, this is God. And the Lord says this, Samuel says, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. And the Lord says this, don't look at his appearance or the height of his stature. Because I've not chosen I don't look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the what? At the heart. You know the story. He goes on down the line and finally the young shepherd boy David comes and God says, this is going to be my next king. Fast forward. The boys are out in battle. David, his dad was a little bit of a helicopter parent. He sent David out to check on the boys. David gets out there and what's happened is the boys weren't fighting. They were scared of this guy named Goliath. You remember that? They had all the battle. They had the armor on. David says, well, man, God's got this figured out. God's not worried about the how. He just needs a who. And David said, I'll be the who. So you know the story. David tries on the armor. It doesn't fit. And so he goes down and fights Goliath, and Goliath comes down, fee, fi, fo, fum, I'm Goliath, here I come. And remember what David does? David does what he knows how to do, and he trusts God to do the rest. Some of you are so worried that God's going to ask you to do something that you can't do. Just trust him. David did what he knew how to do. He took a couple of slick stones. He took a slingshot. And God directed those stones to the exact location for victory in his life. And God will do the same thing in your life as well. But you got to say yes. Your yes has to be on the table. God, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but I know that you're calling me to be a great commission Christian. And God, today, I want to commit to that. In just a moment, we're going to have some invitation. I want to invite you to come and you pray that direction. You say, well, I don't need to do that. No, you don't. But maybe drawing a line in the sand is what you need to do. Maybe you need to kneel right where you are. Just commit to being a great commission Christian. Maybe God is calling you to go to the field. I'm going to tell you what, this place would erupt if you answer God's call to that today. I want to invite you today. If you've never trusted Christ, may today be the day where you experience the incredible power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And maybe you've already done that, and you just simply need to be His witness. Won't you stand with me? We'll close in a word of prayer today. Our gracious Father, we're so grateful for Your goodness to us. And Father, I thank You that You're not limited by our ability. Father, Your word tells us that it's in our weakness that You're made strong. So, Father, I pray for every person here today, myself included, that we would commit ourselves to simply being about sharing the gospel with people. Father, I pray that You'd forgive us for thinking it's someone else's responsibility. God, would You give us a burden? And would You give us a heart for the nations? Father, I pray today that You begin something new in us, a renewed passion and vision for what You're doing around the world. Father, may we be those that are simply used by You in every area and every arena. Father, I pray for that man or woman, that young person that's never experienced Your power in their life. Father, would today be the day where they trust You as their Savior? Father, we give You thanks for that in Christ's name.